story spread out before us, we often skim books or read just the reviews. We might already have encountered the greatest idea, the insight that would have transformed us had we savored it, taken it to heart, and worked it into our lives. This is a book about 10 great ideas. Each chapter is an attempt to savor one idea that has been discovered by several of the world's civilizations, to question it in light of what we now know from scientific research, and to extract from it the lessons that still apply to our modern lives. I am a social psychologist. I do experiments to try to figure out one corner of human social life, and my corner is morality and the moral emotions. I am also a teacher. I teach a large introductory psychology class at the University of Virginia, in which I try to explain the entire field of psychology in 24 lectures. I have to present 1,000 research findings on everything from the structure of the retina to the workings of love, and then hope that my students will understand and remember it all. As I struggled with this challenge in my first year of teaching, I realized that several ideas kept recurring across lectures, and that often these ideas had been stated eloquently by past thinkers. To summarize the idea that our emotions, our reactions to events, and some mental illnesses are caused by the mental filters through which we look at the world, I could not say it any more concisely than Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I began to use such quotations to help my students remember the big ideas in psychology, and I began to wonder just how many such ideas there were. To find out, I read dozens of works of ancient wisdom, mostly from the world's three great zones of classical thought: India, for example, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the sayings of the Buddha; China, the Analects of Confucius; the Tao Te Ching, the writings of Meng Su and other philosophers; and the cultures of the Mediterranean, the Old and New Testaments, the Greek and Roman philosophers, the Quran. I also read a variety of other works of philosophy and literature from the last 500 years. Every time I found a psychological claim, a statement about human nature or the workings of the mind or heart, I wrote it down. Whenever I found an idea expressed in several places and times, I considered it a possible great idea. But rather than mechanically listing the top 10 all-time most widespread psychological ideas of humankind, I decided that coherence was more important than frequency. I wanted to write about a set of ideas that would fit together, build upon each other, and tell a story about how human beings can find happiness and meaning in life. Helping people find happiness and meaning is precisely the goal of the new field of positive psychology, a field in which I have been active. So this book is, in a way, about the origins of positive psychology in ancient wisdom and the applications of positive psychology today. Most of the research I will cover was done by scientists who would not consider themselves positive psychologists. Nonetheless, I have drawn on 10 ancient ideas and a great variety of modern research findings to tell the best story I can about the causes of human flourishing and the obstacles to well-being that we place in our own paths. The story begins with an account of how the human mind works. Not a full account, of course, just 2 ancient truths that must be understood before you can take advantage of modern psychology to improve your life. The first truth is the foundational idea of this book. The mind is divided into parts that sometimes conflict. Like a rider on the back of an elephant, the conscious, reasoning part of the mind has only limited control of what the elephant does. Nowadays, we know the causes of these divisions and a few ways to help the rider and the elephant work better as a team. The second idea is Shakespeare's, about how thinking makes it so. Or, as Buddha said, our life is the creation of our mind. But we can improve this ancient idea today by explaining why most people's minds have a bias towards seeing threats and engaging in useless worry. We can also do something to change this bias by using 3 techniques that increase happiness, 1 ancient and 2 very new. The second step in the story is to give an account of our social lives. Again, not a complete account, just 2 truths, widely known but not sufficiently appreciated. 1 is the golden rule. Reciprocity is the most important tool for getting along with people, and I'll show you how you can use it to solve problems in your own life and avoid being exploited by those who use reciprocity against you. However,